So what I want to go ahead and do is I want to have you open up your Bible. Is that okay? Is that okay if we do that? Open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. And as you turn there, I got a picture somebody snatched of me that I want to just show you. Let's see if we can get... There I was on vacation last year, breaking the world record in the Hercules Hold. No, but this is, I think, Felix is his name. And as you turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, I want you to just picture that. I got another picture. Bruce, can you put the other one on? Let's see if we can show that. You can see he's holding these two large pillars up. And it was a competition amongst the world's strongest men. And the one that held it up the longest within their own grip would be the winner of that competition. So there he was holding up both pillars. And, you know, I watched the video. I was going to play the video so I could kind of shorten my sermon, but I didn't do it. I'm going to go ahead and just share you the photo so you can listen to me a little bit more. But here he is breaking the world record, holding these two very heavy and large pillars for almost 2 minutes. So now let's go to Matthew 6:24. You got a picture. Two pillars, holding them up at the same time. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and right in the middle of it he says, "No one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." He goes on to say, you cannot serve God and money. All right, there he was, Mr. Felix. He's holding the pillars, just holding them. Now, I also have the translation in the King James Version, which says the exact same thing, but this translation reads this: "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold." Mr. Felix was holding two pillars at the same time. He says he will either hold the one to the one and despise the other. Jesus is talking to these people, warning them that you cannot love money and you cannot love God. You cannot hold on to Jesus with one hand and hold on to money with the other. He's saying you cannot hold on to two masters at the same time. You cannot. So here we are. Today you may be here and you may say, well, I'm not really chasing money. But you're holding on to Jesus with one hand, and what are you holding on to with the other one? The thing is that we cannot serve two masters, so we have to get to the picture of ourselves standing like this. And my fear, is that there are many people filling churches, not just here in Potosi, but all over the nation, who hold on to Jesus with one hand and love the idea of what it would look like to follow him and to live for him and to give generously for him and to serve in the church and to feed the poor. But then they also hold on to that habit. Ah, it's just my downfall. It's just my stress relief. It's just what I do in my privacy. It's just this one little thing. And all the while, we are holding on to two masters. And I'm telling you, it is impossible. It may be money. It may be greed. It may be gossip. It may be idolatry. It may be lust. We can fill in the blank. But let's just be real for just a minute. Can we get real today? Let's just get real. And I want you to just think to yourself about your life, where you are right now. And you may not even be close to this. But is there a chance that you're trying to hold on to Jesus with one a little longer to something? It may be many things. But let's just think about it. I'm going to shut up and please. I'm going to give you a few. Picture your life. I mean, you weren't forced to be here. Hopefully you came on your own and you want to be here and you were looking forward to it and you're here. So you're clearly not just completely rejecting him, but what are you trying to hold on to maybe as well at the same time, because it just makes me feel better, or it's just what I do with my friends, or it's just a little bit, all the while trying to hold on to two masters. So I like to swim. Anybody else like to swim? I love to swim. One thing I hate about swimming is getting into a cold pool. Hate it. Makes me want to say words I haven't said in a long time. It just irks me. But I also don't like getting in a hot pool where it scorches my skin. I like it to be warm. Anybody else? I mean, I like it to be warm. I hate a cold shower, even though people tell me if you take a cold shower, you'll burn more calories. I'll just burn them later. I'll do something else. I ain't taking no cold shower. You can take the cold shower and tell me all about it. I'm not doing it. But I also don't like getting in the shower and like my wife, she'll stand under there and you'll see the flames coming down with the water. I don't like that. I like it to be warm. I don't like it to be 110 out either. It's too hot. But I also don't like it to be negative 10. I don't like it to be too cold. I like it nice and warm. And I started to think to myself as God was trying to teach me how to connect that particular picture with Matthew 6:24, where many people may be finding themselves today. You may have came into this church today right there, holding on to Jesus, holding on to something else. May have been holding on to many things. So what if pillar number one on this side was hot and pillar number two was cold? Jesus said something about warm people. In Revelation chapter 3, he was warning the church of Laodicea, and he says this in chapter 3, verse 15. He says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Does this scare anyone? Let's just be honest. This is a warning to a church 2,000 years ago. Does this scare anyone today? To read those words and to think to yourself that there may be just a little bit of you that find yourself in between Jesus holding on with one hand. I love the idea. I want to be for him. I want to live for him. I want him to be the center of my marriage and to be the focal point of my children. But then there's also a part of us that says, I really like this and it's hard to give up this. I don't know if I can give it up. And there's so many people who are coming to church week in and week out and they're holding on to two different things. And I'm telling you this. There is no more time to be lukewarm. None. Because here's what happens. Yeah, it's comfortable. A warm shower is comfortable. But Jesus is wanting you today to decide. You either be hot and all in or cold. Some of y'all are here. You came hopefully on your own, like I said. So you're not completely cold. You're here. You want to be here. You want to worship, you want to serve, you want to help and share what you wear, you want to bring good stuff to give to the kids and all over the world in our shoeboxes, so you're not cold. You're not. But are you just settling for lukewarm? And the scary part is that we have churches today and church leaders all over the world who are rising up to positions carrying a mentality of being lukewarm. And you're seeing churches go lukewarm. They're just tolerating sin and just accepting it and adopting it for, well, this book is 2,000 years old. Times have changed. But the Bible tells me that God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I know times have changed and people might be slightly different. But if we see churches and Christians kind of compromising their own integrity to stay up with the culture, then you can consider them to be lukewarm. And all the while, people are wasting years of their life thinking to themselves, they are living a good life for the Lord, when they will find out one day when he says to them, depart from me, for I did not know you. You like the idea of knowing me, but you did not know me, is what he will say. And my fear isn't even that people will say, I can't believe he preached 5 minutes long today. I can't believe he preached a little harder today. Or, yeah, he was a little hateful. That's not my fear, because I'm not preaching to you to condemn you, because this sermon was preached to me and for me just as it is for you, because there are times where I want to grab onto things and I want to hold them too. But my fear is that I will stand before the Lord one day and he will look at me and he will ask me. I don't know if he's going to ask me this, but he might. What if he were to ask me, why was your ministry so warm? Why was your ministry so warm? Why were you so afraid to tell people that sin is sin and it's separation from me? What if he were to ask us that? Why was your life so warm? Why were you so unwilling to just completely repent and follow me? My fear is that there are people and there are churches all over this great nation living lukewarm lives and just staying comfortable in them, because it's comfy and it's cozy. There's a lot of people with you, so it's just comfortable. So as I was trying to piece all of this together, so there are people standing just like this, like holding on to Jesus, holding on to idolatry, holding on to Jesus, holding on to adultery, holding on to Jesus, holding on to greed, holding on to Jesus, fill in the blank. And there are many people right here, just like Mr. Felix, stood there holding on to those two pillars as hard as he could. And I was trying to piece that with the picture, Matthew 6 to Revelation 3. And then I remember what Jesus said, that in order to be his disciple, in order to know him and to follow him, we must what? If you remember Luke 9:23, we must deny ourselves, right? We must take up our cross daily and what? Follow him. So I realized that we have to do something different. You know, James worded it like this, that if we were to be friends of the world, we would actually be enemies of God. You cannot hold on to worldliness and hold on to godliness at the same time. It just doesn't work. You can't consider yourself to be a friend of the world and enjoy all of the lusts and the pleasures of the world and then still consider yourself to be godly, because if you're a friend of the world, James says, and I'm just quoting James so I can warn you, that you would be considered an enemy of God. There would be enmity between you and him. So anytime I cling to worldliness, there is enmity between me and him. There is a problem. We can't do it. I can't hold on to both. So when I go to that passage where Jesus said, we must take up our cross daily and follow him. Let's just think about it. Just picture that. And I'll ask you this. What is the end result of a cross back in that day? What was the end result? Death. So just so y'all know, Jesus was not the only one to be crucified on a cross. He was not. He was the only one that mattered. There were hundreds or thousands of people, sometimes at the same time, just crucified along the streets and along the roads. And whenever we get the idea that a cross results in death, and trying to piece Matthew 6 to Revelation 3 to the picture of Mr. Felix to my own life, I realize that in order for me to go like this, where I'm holding on to godliness and holding on to worldliness, I must follow and obey the words of Jesus, right? To pick up my cross daily is to die to self. Okay, you following? I must die to self, meaning I must put to death the desires of my flesh and then pursue the desires of my Lord. I must put to death the wants of this world and pursue the desires of my Lord. I must put to death, I must die to self. So how do we die to self? When you're trying to hold on to whatever you enjoy, how do we die to self? Well, first, we must drop it. We must drop whatever it is. But let me just tell you, this is the easy part. It's kind of like a diet. So for a few years now, I've struggled with my diet and working out, and I like the idea. It's kind of funny, because as you grow older, you go from the after photo to the before photo for people. Like, I used to look like an after photo, and now I'm starting to look more and more like a before photo. But anyway, I've struggled with my nutrition and my diet. And I've held on to, I love to go to the gym and work out, but I really love 44 Dr. Peppers and ice cream. I can't have both. Like, if I want to be in shape, I can't be eating the stuff that I really want to eat. So I'll just drop the gym. I don't want that. I'm like, maybe so I need to drop the ice cream and the soda and hold on to the gym. So it's kind of like a diet. If I really want to get back in shape, I have to drop my 3 44-ounce sodas a day. I must drop my king-size Reese's peanut butter cup. I must drop this stuff, right? I got to drop it. That's the easy part. Because it's going to be easy for me tomorrow to wake up and drink coffee. That's easy. Day one's easy. Day two's easy. But once I kind of get into this thing a little bit, there's some times where late on a Wednesday night, I'll be going through town after a meeting or something, and I'll pass that. We don't have the hot and ready sign in Potosi, but we do have a really pretty Sonic sign right in the middle of town. And sometimes I'll pass that thing, and what do? I'll just turn right in. Why? Because, no, listen, there's science that backs this up, because whenever you do something for so long, it becomes a habit to you, it becomes your nature. And what happens inside of your brain is it creates neural pathways, and you just kind of become, what do they say about us, Adam? We're nature creatures of habit, right? We're creatures of habit, meaning the neural pathways just lead us to do the things in which we do. So I was on my way to Bonterra one day, and I was thinking, this week is going to be the week. This was a few months ago, and I said, this is the week. Life's changing. I'm on my way to Bonterra, and it's about 11 o'clock in the morning, and had a really good breakfast and eating clean, and I started thinking of all the times I was going to get to exercise this week and all the clean foods I was going to get to eat, and I was so excited. This is going to be the week. And my head started hurting. I'm not kidding. This is a true story. My head was hurting because I was trying to break the neural pathways inside of my brain, which caused inflammation of the brain. And the neural pathways were trying to be broken, and it really caused my head to hurt. So what did I went and got a soda, and I took care of it. It's easy to drop it. It's easy to be in here in church and realize the things in which you should drop. I would go to church week after week and feel like he and I were the only one in the church. I'd be like, man, he must have talked to Michaela this week. I mean, we were in a fairly large church of about 900 each service, and there I sat amongst 899 others, and it seemed like he and I were the only two in there. And I would look at him, and he was staring into my soul, and he was reading my mail, and he had talked to my wife, and he read through my text messages all week, and he knew exactly what I was going through. And it was just like, I know what to drop it now, because the word of God was piercing my heart, and the Spirit of God was convicting me right there in that place, and I knew exactly what to drop. I knew exactly what habits I had to drop. I knew exactly what relationships I had to drop because they were toxic and because they were bringing me down. I knew exactly what I had to drop. Dropping it is the easy part. You can sit here and think to yourself, you know what? I need to drop this habit. I need to drop this lifestyle. I need to die to self. But here's the hard part. Initiating change. That's when it gets hard. Because you can sit here and say, yep, I'm going to drop this habit or this lifestyle or this relationship because it's all bringing me down and I'm trying to hold on to Jesus and that, so I'm going to drop it. Dropping it is the easy part. Initiating change and moving in a new direction is the hard part. See, the word repentance literally means to turn around and move away from, right? So God wants none to perish but all to come to repentance, meaning I need to drop whatever sin it is that I continue to cling to and hold on to, and I need to leave it behind me. I need to drop it. I need to confess it. I need to repent of it, meaning I need to not just drop it, but I must leave it. I need to initiate change in my life. I need to initiate a new direction. I need to drop that toxic relationship and look for people in my small group or people in my church to now grow into relationship with. I need to drop this Friday night habit and I need to pick up a new one. I need to drop this free time hobby and I need to pick up a new one. But here's the hard part. The hard part is initiating that change because you're going against your brain neural pathways, which have caused you to be who you are. It's just your nature to do this or to be like that or to talk like that or to think like this. So when you drop it, it's easy. This is why people always struggle on maybe a new lifestyle or a new diet, because dropping it and starting it's real easy. But about day 4 or day 10 or day 21 or 22, what are we doing? We're picking it right back up. Just like sin. I'm not going to gossip anymore this month. And then you get around Susie. And Susie starts talking. And what do? You pick it right back up. Because you could have initiated change and stayed with it. You realize I need to initiate change by distancing myself a little bit from them. Or maybe we'll pick up some form of idolatry or adultery or drunkenness or greed. And we'll drop it for a while. But man, once we get close enough to the people or the feelings or the mindset that once put us right here, what are we doing? We're picking it right back up. And we're trying to serve the Lord and we're trying to please ourselves. And we're just standing here lukewarm day after day. So not only do I need to drop it, I need to initiate change. And here is the hardest part. Jesus said what? He said to deny yourself, take up your cross, when? Daily. So this is the exfoliation process. So many of us, some of y'all bathe, I know, but whenever you shower, bathe, wash your face, your hands, or your feet, what you're doing is you're exfoliating the dead skin cells, and you're removing the dead skin cells and all of the garbage that comes with it. And the next day, you do the same thing, right? You're washing your face, your arms, and you're exfoliating your skin. And what happens is you're removing the dead skin cells. Once those dead skin cells are removed, they're long gone, right? So this is what Jesus means by daily. So dropping it today is easy. Initiating change to live it out this week or the rest of this month is the hard part. But the hardest part is to do it daily the rest of my life. That's the hardest part. Because I can do a 30-day fix. I can do a 21-day fix. I can do a 30-day fast. I can do things for a short period of time if I have a target. But Jesus says, don't just do it in this season. Don't just do it from January to February or from February to April. He says to do it daily. So this is not just dropping it, initiating change, but it is the exfoliation. And that is where we truly walk it out. And that's where we say no to these people. And that's where we say no to this temptation. I'm going to continue to fight these things. I'm going to continue to go against these battles. I'm going to continue to fight against things that I used to struggle with. But I'm going to continue walking daily. And what's happening is through this process of exfoliation is I'm truly removing the things that were once leading me to death. I'm removing them and all the garbage that they bring because you know those people are no good for you, yet you continue to just find pleasure in them because they're what? Comfortable. Because when we like things lukewarm, we like them because they're comfortable. And if I can stand here and stay in this relationship or in this habit, it brings me pleasure, it brings me comfort. We'll stay there for months or years at a time and we'll wonder to ourselves, how did I get here? How did I even get here? Who's ever asked themselves that? Just be honest. How did we ever get to this point? How come I let it get this bad? How come I didn't stop it back then? It's because day after day you just tried to drop it. Now I'm not going to do anything different. I'm just going to drop it. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. It's going to be a new day. How many Mondays have you had? Where this is the week of new life, and we drop something for a day or maybe a week, but we were not willing to initiate change that was going to last forever. And we were not willing to pick up that cross daily. We were not willing to say no daily. We were not willing to, instead of running back to our comfort, running to our Christ who gives us the strength to overcome. How many times do we find ourselves for months or years at a time just standing right here? Lukewarm and comfortable. Because I'm in church on Sunday, but it's just a little this. I serve like this or I give like that, but it's just a little that or a little this. I mean, seriously, church, how many people come in on a weekly basis and are holding on to Jesus with one hand, and instead of going all in, completely hot and on fire for him, they still hold on to something else? We must die to self. We must drop, initiate, exfoliate. For those of you still trying to catch up, that's die spelled out. D-I-E, die. I must drop, initiate, and exfoliate. Daily. And it's a battle. It's a battle. And my fear is that people will get so comfortable in the lukewarm and get so comfortable holding on to other things that they will miss out on the life in which Jesus came to give you. And here is the definition of lukewarm. You ready for this? And I'll end it. I'll end it all if you're ready. Y'all ready? Anybody excited for me to end this thing and go home? Gonna start getting amens and clapping in the church. Better watch out. But this is all it is. Half-hearted commitment, half-hearted living. That's it. When you find yourself in this position, not willing to truly surrender and repent of this and not truly go in for the Lord, it's just half-hearted commitment. It's just half-hearted living. That's all it is. That's why I start my diet every Monday, because in my head it feels good. Truly, it does. We talked about it this morning. I want that. But when it comes to actually carrying it out and living it out on a daily basis, I'm not willing to do it. I'm not strong enough to do it. I don't press into the Spirit of God that is within me. And that Spirit of God, the Bible says that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. So instead of pressing into the Spirit of God that He has given me, which is one not of fear but of power, I'll just live comfortably. And then that's when I'll get into an argument with my wife on my way to church because nothing fit right. And she's trying to put this on me, and I don't want to wear that. But nothing fits right, and I don't got no clothes. I got clothes. I just need to lose a little bit of pounds or buy a bigger size. I got plenty of stuff. But instead, I'll just gripe about where I'm at because I'm just staying right here. Just right here. I'll just stay in it. It's comfortable. But it's half-hearted living. But aren't you thankful that when God stepped down from glory, He didn't half-hearted commit to you? Do you think when He stepped down from glory and He put on bone and flesh, He wanted to do it half-heartedly? Do you think his way of escape and His way of reconciliation, His way of salvation was done half-heartedly? He was completely for it. He was submitted to it. Jesus even prayed in the garden, if there's any other way, please remove it. However, not my will, but your will. He didn't view you and He didn't view me half-heartedly. He wasn't halfway committed to us. He was fully committed and wholeheartedly gave Himself up for a wretch like me. Yeah, we will live our lives right here. It's not a big deal. It's something small. We will hold on to Jesus with one hand and hold on to something else with the other. Jesus came to give life and give life more abundantly. And many people are not willing to die to self to live for Him. We're not willing to die to self to live with Him. And we're missing out on the blessing and the beauty of the life that Jesus came to give us. And this message can go to every part of your life. The reason our marriages aren't where they could be is because we're not willing to die to self. The way that we could advance in our careers, we're not willing to die and sacrifice to step up the ladder and to do our time and to work harder. We'll just get comfortable. We'll just get comfortable. And complacency is oftentimes the greatest obstacle to living in the life that Jesus called you to live. We get comfortable and we get complacent. But Jesus is calling you today to drop it, to initiate and exfoliate all the days of your life. And in this moment, at this time, as we get ready to pray and we get ready to sing one last song together, I want you to spend this time to be real with yourself and ask yourself what it is that you're holding on to. And just ask yourself what it is that you need to drop. And at this time, let's pray together.